You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really lucky to be able to share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. We're going to be talking about some of the wonderful drinks brands here in Oxfordshire. And to do that, we're joined by Andrew Parsons of Skyway Gin, Mark Hayes-Kemp of Twisted Tree Brewery, and also Mark Graham of Hook Norton Brewery. This is the Business Brunch. We will be introducing our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about three wonderful drinks brands that are home here in Oxfordshire. So let's introduce them. So we'll start with you, Andrew, if that's okay. For those who don't know you and haven't sampled Skywave, introduce yourself.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Parsons. I'm the master distiller and co-founder of the Skywave Distilling Company. I had a 24-year army career as an army officer, and then I was an IT and telecoms consultant. We traveled the world. My co-founder, Rachel Hicks, and I turned our passion for that travel and that adventure into craft distilling, believe it or not. And today I oversee the creation of our spirits, that's gin and vodka, so not just Skywave Gin, Skywave Gin and Vodka, and at our boutique distillery based at the historic Bicester Motion site.
Amazing, amazing. Next up, let's go to Mark Graham, if that's okay.
Oh, hi, everyone. My name is Mark Graham. I'm the marketing manager down here at Hook Norton. Been here 11 years now, which seems a lifetime. The brewery's been here longer than that, obviously. 1849, we started all of this, and still family-owned, still independent. Lots going on, lots of beers being produced, as well as on-site cafes, restaurant, shop, events, and everything else in between. So keeps us busy down this part of the world. And we've got 30 odd pubs to run as well. So lots to keep us busy.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Mark Hayes-Kemp.
Yeah, good morning. Hello. Most people, I think, probably won't have actually heard of us. I'm one of the co-founders who founded Twisted Tree Brewery with my brother. Family-owned, but slightly different to Hooky. We weren't founded in 1849, we were founded in 2024. So we're still on the scene. It's a part-time business that we're running and ramping up on the side of our day job still at the minute. But things are going from strength to strength. So yeah, I'm looking forward to having a chat and letting you know about us.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Mark, I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to give you the first short straw of the morning, if that's okay. The three of you have kindly chosen a song on the radio to play a DJ just for a moment. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Mine is just a song that's always brought a smile to my face that I think, regardless of what's going on, be it in the world or be it in the world of business, as running a business, I feel, is like going down a whitewater rapids ride. The peaks and troughs. My song is Twist and Shout, the Beatles cover from 1963, which is just, I think, full of life and enjoyment and gets everybody smiling.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song, really good song choice there, Mark. We've heard from our three experts about the brands that they've brought to Oxfordshire, and now really keen to talk about drinks in Oxfordshire. Andrew, I'm going to start with quite a big, broad question with you, if that's okay. What is the drink scene like in Oxfordshire, and why are there so many great independents?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think the drink scene is thriving. It's alive and well. There are quite a diverse range of bars from the, you know, the lower end of the market all the way up to some very, very high end bars in some of the towns and Oxford City itself. there's a I'm always surprised with being in the spirits end of the market as opposed to the beer end. I'm always surprised by how creative some of the bartenders and mixologists are around Oxfordshire. So really clever uses of spirits. But the offering seems to be wide. I mean, it's not just spirits. Clearly, we've got beer representatives here, but there's also quite a good wine scene and quite a few vineyards in Oxfordshire, believe it or not. So there's an awful lot of stuff going on the drink scene. Whilst there is, there's a lot of challenges, which I'm sure we'll come on to. I think people are still going out, people are still drinking, perhaps less, but certainly better. And that seems to be what's going on.
No, absolutely. Mark, as Andrew touched on, I am keen to talk about some of the challenges, but let's talk about marketing to start with, because that's your specialist area, isn't it? That's your area of expertise. I've always thought that Cook Norton really stands out. How do you go about the marketing of your work? Like, what's the secret? Give our insight. Give our listeners some insight.
I mean, you'd think marketing beer would be relatively easy, but actually, it's got more and more challenging. Obviously, there's more competition, which is fantastic, and there's more and more products and more choice. So you have to kind of do things a little bit different to make yourself stand out from that noise. We do a lot around experiential, so tastings and getting out and through events. That's a great way because obviously, a pint. A picture of a pint on a page tells one story, but actually tasting the product is key for us, and getting people to engage with it. So we do a lot of that, especially coming into the summer months. We're blessed with obviously the site we're at, the brewery, the architecture. We do run obviously brewery tours because that gets people engaged with the brand and seeing the process behind it. So when they see that beer in the pub, they kind of link back to when they came here. We've got random, not random, but we've got Shy Horses, which again, a fantastic marketing tool. Every time they go out, they're not just a gimmick. They do work. They deliver beer, and it's a nod back to the traditional way of delivering beer. So again, just something a little bit unique to make yourself stand out from the crowd.
Absolutely. And Mark, you're at the complete opposite end, in terms of you're very early, as you touched on in your intro, in setting up the wonderful brewery. For those listeners who aren't familiar, what's the process of setting up a brewery? What was that journey, and how did it happen?
How did it happen? My interest in just in I guess fermenting, and it could be fermenting anything. I had a couple of allotments when I was 15. I used to take the parsnips off and try and make some parsnip wine and do all sorts of weird and funky things. I was very good at making vinegar, I think it turned out at that point. So from there we ended up getting into some home brewing in a sort of a fairly serious fashion. After doing, I don't know, nearly 200 brews we did on our homebrew stuff, we said, oh, we should, after probably having one or too many of them, we said, oh, we should set up a brewery and start to sell it, because we think it's good. If I'd have known how difficult it was to set up a brewery, I probably wouldn't have done it. So I'm glad no one was honest with me and told me. The red tape, the legislation, the certification, the government's barriers they put in your way, it's not easy. There's a lot that behind the scenes that go into not just setting up a brewery, but also the day-to-day running of it that you'd have no idea happens to consumer. And that's everything from auditing, from HMRC visits to different accreditations for getting being able to sell into certain top shops and supermarkets, etc. So hard work, I would say, is what goes into setting up a brewery.
No, I can imagine. No, absolutely. And Andrew, at Skywave, you guys have won a huge number of awards, haven't you? So let's talk about the some of the fruits of running a drinks brand. Talk to me about your awards journey and how you've got to that point of winning so many high profile awards.
Well, we started really. We realized, you asked Mark about marketing. We realized in 2018 when we founded, and we were entirely self-funded. We had no money for marketing, really. So how do we get out there? How do we get known? And we very quickly developed the strategy that if you can enter competitions and maybe get a bronze medal or a silver medal, then that would really raise your profile. And make you known or a bit more known to certainly to the trade and maybe consumers if you could put something on your bottle. So we decided to go down that route. And in 2019, we thought, well, why go low? Why not start big? And we entered the World Gin Awards, because why not start at the Worlds? You know, why enter England's or Oxfordshire's when you can enter the Worlds? We went straight for the Worlds. And incredibly, our very first London Dry Gin was named the world's best contemporary gin at the World Gin Awards in early 2020. Frustratingly, that was 3 weeks before lockdown. So we thought we were handed this great big marketing prize, but all our customers really closed their doors for nearly 12 months. And so that was snatched away from us. But we carried on and we continued, and we entered more and more competitions across our range of products, all our gins and vodkas. And we now have 86 international awards from across the world. Our last one was a gold medal in the New Zealand Spirits Awards as a precursor to entering that market. So it opens doors. It tells the world how good our liquid is. It is the best liquid in the world. And it's not just us shouting it. You know, international spirits judges say that our liquid is the best liquid in the world. So that's really why we did it, and how we've done that journey.
And just staying with you, if it's okay, Andrew, just around that piece, as you've touched on around being the best liquid in the world, would you encourage other businesses or other drinks producers to go through that award process, even if they feel that they're not quite at that winning level? Because I know that you mentioned early on in terms of your application process, you thought, do you know what, if we win bronze, that's still good early on. Would you encourage other drinks brands to give it a go?
I would, yes, whatever it is, whether it's beer, wine, spirits, I would, because you achieve two things. You achieve a confirmation that your liquid is as good as you think it is, or you get comments and feedback. You know, it might say it is balanced, but it could do with X, Y, and Z, and you may take that on board and decide to modify your recipe, or you may not. But also, it's a way of. It's a way of getting you out there when you have a small marketing budget, as I said earlier on. It's a way of getting your name out there. So it achieves a number of things, including that affirmation that your liquid is what you think it is.
No, absolutely. And Mark, I'm keen to come across to something you mentioned in your intro around having pubs, and we see your beers in shops, and I've been fortunate to be able to visit your brewery as well. So you're going very much down the multi-channel side. How do you balance that from a marketing perspective? We're going to move on from marketing in a moment, but in terms of marketing in all of those different ways, what does that look like, and how do you, I guess, decide where to go and when to go there? Big question again. Sorry, Mark.
That's fine. Yeah, it is a challenge, to be honest. Because especially with obviously the range that we have and where you're selling it into. So obviously the way you market it into pubs, so landlords, is obviously different to where you how you market to consumers. So you kind of, like Andrew said, the awards thing is fantastic because that allows you to, you know, just something, another story, another justification for them stocking that beer over, you know, somebody else's. Supermarkets and retail, again, you know, you've got so the same brand that may look fantastic on a pump clip when it's on a small bottle, you've then got to really make sure that it stands out on shelf. So we work hard with our partners to do, again, in-store tastings, all that kind of stuff. So and then you add into that, obviously, online shop, website, social media. We're vaguely active on TikTok, if I'm honest. But again, as a brand, you don't want to be seen to be kind of like dad dancing, just doing it just because everyone's on TikTok. You need to be on TikTok. Well, actually, no, you don't, because if you're going to do something, you need to do it properly, and it's got to fit with our brand. So we have to pick and choose where, and you know, where the budget goes. I mean, there is a budget, but it gets more every year. So it's kind of it's definitely challenging, I'll say.
Amazing. No, absolutely. Thank you for that insight. I'm going to stay with you, Mark, if that's okay. And as we've had a very high bar for song choices so far, and you've also chosen a song for our listeners. What's your song choice, and why have you picked it?
So it's kind of with ties in with beer, strangely enough, but also being what how beer is an enabler. So you go out for a nice night and hope you have nice beer or nice spirits, and and what have you. But actually, the thing you remember the most is about who you're with and the occasion. So things are basically better together. So that's Jack Johnson. That song, I think it just in all everything in life is always better if you're with somebody, sometimes not, but anyway. But yeah, I think, yeah, Jack Johnson, Better Together would be my song choice.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is the Business Brunch, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, please, please, please head over to the Get Radio website and listen back to the podcast version, because you are in for a treat. We're joined by three wonderful drinks brands here in Oxfordshire that we are so lucky to have. So I'm really keen to bring Mark Hayes Kemp into the conversation, if that's okay, and really talk about the local piece. Why is it so important to support local, and what can you do to support a local drinks brand or indeed a local business? But let's focus on drinks.
Supporting local is, well, it's a big craze at the minute, isn't it? It has been probably for the last couple of years, coming from things that are reducing carbon footprints to actually supporting your local businesses and independent businesses, as opposed to the multinationals, where you can see the benefits of that going back into your local area. So we have yet to have taken a salary out of our business. All our money goes reinvesting back into our business. So predominantly at the minute, we've been investing in our brewery and our tap room and our experience here for when we have our open weekends for people to come and actually enjoy it. So the more people support us, the more nicer venue and nicer place they can come and enjoy. So it's sort of, it's going back into helping them and creating a venue for them at the minute. I think it's everyone would rather support a small local business and the people that are around them and in that business, rather than supporting, you know, a brewery that's owned by an investor in the other side of the lake, as we know recently, where that can all suddenly change very quickly and go. It also is about bringing in local employment into the area as well. So there's really no reason not to. You're also getting quality products as well if you're supporting your local stuff. You're not getting something off the shelf that you get in any supermarket. You're getting quality. That's why you're paying that extra for it.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Andrew, I'm keen to not be too political, but I'm really keen to share with our listeners, because this is a business show ultimately, some of the challenges for drinks brands, because I think it's been widely reported, levies, taxes, red tape, and I'm just keen to get a little bit of an insight for the listener in terms of what are the challenges for a local drinks brand.
I think they are many and varied, to be honest. I think the first one is the alcohol duty going up and up. I think it's something like 33%, if I've got my numbers right, over the past couple of years. Huge hike in alcohol duty. Often we have no choice but to pass that on to the consumer, which means they're paying much, much more. I think we now have one of the highest alcohol duties in the world, and that's absolutely crazy. If you add all of the other taxes that are placed on us, including the national insurance increases, again, without being political, that's where we are. I think I worked out that when you pay £40 for a bottle of Skyway gin or vodka, £19 goes straight to the tax man before you have any other hidden things. You know, and that doesn't include, you know, tax on tax, you know, on energy and other things like that. So, and alcohol duty, by the way, is taxed, and then the VAT is on top of that. So actually, the VAT is actually on the alcohol duty as well as everything else. So that's a double tax. So that's the first challenge. I think the second challenge is that people are now appearing to drink less. Not across the board, but they are drinking better. So the good news for, I think, the three brands represented here today is that we are, you know, at the top end of our game. So we're hopefully the brands that people are going to instead of drinking the cheaper and the more supermarket brands. So that, you know, that's good for us. What else are the challenges? I think, again, we've touched on it. I think people want more about the experience. It's not simply about the product anymore. So you have to wrap it in an experience. And Mark Mark from Hooky was talking about wrapping that in the experience, and we do experiences at the distillery as well. And I know Mark at Twisted Tree, I've been to your tap room, great experiences going on there. So you have to round it all of that. So yeah, I think there are a number of challenges, some political, some wider, you know, around the trends that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, what I'm keen to understand is I guess from a beer point of view, are the challenges the same, or are there other things to consider as well? Which
I'll
Mark is
take
that? Is that
that.
either Mark, either Mark,
I'm on
both
two
of you?
marks. That's the
They're
trouble with
probably
me.
the
Two
same ones
marks.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're the same. The duty and rates differ between beer, cider, wine, spirits. So there's slight differences, but the same difficulties, the same increases proportionately, I'm sure. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same issues, I think, across all the alcohol sector.
Andrew, back to you.
Yeah, the one thing that I would point out, and I point out in front of the two marks, is that beer has a small producer's relief from HMRC, and spirits don't. And the spirits industry is crying out for a level playing field. So, you know, a small producer like us has to pay exactly the same as Diageo, which does seem a little bit unfair. And beer has a small producer's relief, which I absolutely celebrate, wouldn't want to touch, but I think that should also be brought in for spirits.
No, totally, totally. Mark, you're obviously a very, very well-established business. How we've spoken a little bit about the last 2 years. Has this been a gradual thing over a long period of time? And what are your predictions for the future? What, you know, what needs to happen if we look, you know, 5 years in the future?
I mean, it's involving here. Even in my time here, we've changed a lot. I mean, when I started, we just had the shop, and now we've obviously got the restaurant. We do weddings and more events. So we're changing, tapping into more of the destination. Obviously, the Cotswolds as your power apparently in, although the line keeps moving. But yeah, it's just this whole area of tourism, you know, that helps massively, but you still have to provide a really good experience because people were, you know, costs of things have gone up, and they, if they're paying money, they want to make sure that that experience is the best they can have. So, and yeah, looking forward 5 years, you know, the low and no trend, which is, you know, for years our lowest beer was 2.8, which was our mild, which again back in the 60s, 70s was the most popular because that was the drink of choice for the working man. They'd be in the factory, you have 6 pints at lunchtime, go back to work, you know, that was, you know, drinking in the offices, that culture, you know, those great days when loads of beer was flowing. So now we've our lowest now is 2.5. We're looking at a zero, which, you know, I think for James Clark, the MD, you know, that's kind of goes against everything that as a brewer, you know, you kind of, you know, a beer with no alcohol, what, but it is a trend. You know, so you kind of, people still want to go out and have that enjoyment, and maybe not so much the hangover or even the, you know, the detrimental health elements of pure alcohol. So yeah, it's again, it's a challenge, but you kind of sort of you look to try and adapt over the years to see what's coming down the track. And we're fortunate that we can, yeah, we've got a development kit here, so we can kind of play around, as it were, before committing to a full brew. So that, you know, we're very fortunate, and also got a test bed of the pubs where we put the product into, and if it gets traction, then we can upscale it. So we've got that kind of R&D thing happening, which is a, you know, a fantastic thing to have. But certainly, yeah, challenges, albeit that, you know, governmental legislation, you know, a war, you know, I mean, petrol prices, we've, you know, they're going through the roofs, fuel prices. So, you know, we still have to deliver the beer somewhere. So that cost of that, getting the product out, goes up. So it's all these kind of hidden costs that affect us. You know, do we stop brewing on a certain day because every time you turn the boiler on, it's costing twice as much, you know, so you kind of have to manage all of that on a, almost on a kind of ongoing basis. So it's, yeah, it's fun.
No, absolutely. And I'm keen. You touched on the 0% there, and it's quite a broad question, which I'm really keen for Mark Hayes-Kemp, and indeed Andrew to get involved in. But how do you select the drinks to make? How do you go about that process in terms of, do you know what, we're going to make another pale ale, or we're going to make another stout, or like how do you go about that? Or do you know what, we're moving into vodka, which we'll talk about in a moment.
For us, we because it's our first obviously entry into it, we've deliberately chosen a known brand, just because that gives you, I mean, there's challenges either way, so obviously people know the brand, but you have to make sure that the zero version is as good as the alcoholic version, and then yeah, so there's slightly less risk, but again, you know, so that's the beer side. We then look at the low ABV ones, so you know, looking at doing maybe a ginger beer or a radler using our own beer. So going back to that,
Nice.
if people can remember the Top Deck Shandy days, you know, so yeah, but again, it's recognizing that trend of people wanting to have that alcoholic experience, albeit at a lower level. So yeah.
And on on your side, Andrew, what's your take?
So we actually always just listen to our customers. Our customers' voice is really important to us. So, for example, I was very purist. I wanted to do London dry gins, clear classic gins. We kept getting asked for pink gins. So we created a raspberry and rhubarb, quickly followed by an orange and Madagascan vanilla. So two fruit gins. But we were also being asked for zero, and we've had a zero now for about 2 years. I think we're one of the few craft distilleries to do a zero, because it's really hard to do. Technically, very hard to get right. And they were asking for vodka as well, so that's why again we produced a vodka and then a second vodka. So for us, it's always been about what the customer has been asking for and what the demand is.
And what's your take, Mark?
We do a 1% beer. That's our lowest we go. Our research and development is slightly different. We obviously have direct feedback from our customers at our tap room, but the rest of our research and development is myself and my brother having a pint and a chat. Probably a bit different to
That's the perfect way to do it.
yeah, that's probably a better way, to be
ones,
fair.
conference ones. But we're lucky that it's just the two of us, I guess. So we get to do it, and we're doing such small production that we can do something very small, and if it doesn't go well, it's fine. The next week or the next month, we can change it. It's not a big expense or stuff. That's one of the benefits of being very small, is that we're able to be a bit more flexible in what we're doing and what we're trying. It is difficult to make a 0% beer and have it as a good beer, without a lot of laboratory work to chemically change that. In terms of the actual brewing process, it's very, very difficult, which is why you don't see many that are at 0% that aren't done by any of the really big brands. But there's definitely a trend for it. I mean, we our heart comes to stronger and darker beers, so we just put a 10% beer into some barrels to age. That's where our heart is. So we have to go against our grain a bit to go and do the lower ABV ones. We'd rather have one drink and enjoy it than have six low ones and that. But that's just our ethos and our passion, I guess.
No, absolutely. No, really, really fascinating. Andrew, it's you're the final DJ of the day, and it's your turn to pick a song. What's your song choice, and why have you picked it?
So when I'm not distilling, I am a drummer in two rock bands. So I really wanted something. I wanted to choose something which actually I think as a drummer is really challenging and technical. I'm not sure I could play this live. I would practice and practice until I got it right. But one of my favorite songs from a drumming perspective is Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Another great song choice. We're talking about the drinks of Oxfordshire, and we're joined by three great local brands that we're lucky to have here in Oxfordshire. So I'm keen to come back to you, Mark Graham, if that's okay, and talk about the process of getting into shops or supermarkets, because I think we all see it on the likes of Dragon's Den and Co, don't we? But what is that process? And yeah, what's that journey like been like for you as a business?
So I guess there's different levels so you've got obviously the local shops and the small supermarkets, and you obviously up to the sort of the bigger boys. So we use those intermediaries that we use who have that sort of conversation with, and they pitch our products to those the larger supermarkets certainly. And we host the buyers here. We had Tesco's down the other day, sort of take them to the pub. Convince them that ours is a good product. I mean, it looks great, obviously, to have your beer in a supermarket. The volumes and the margins, as you can imagine, they're very savvy, because they're supermarkets. So, and the competition, and it's a struggle. Locally, again, just from a distribution side, we will use a local retailer to a drinks retailer who will then we sell to him or them, and then they distribute to all the little sort of local shops, so we don't have to. But again, it's a nice way to get certainly the packaged product, so bottles and cans, into your local shop. And then we have obviously the brewery shop here as well, which helps massively. Although saying that, people will go, "Oh, I've just been to Tesco's and I can buy your beer for £1.50 because it's in deal." And you're like, "Well, okay, you can, because that's they set the price." But obviously, why is it more expensive at the brewery? So you have that argument every now and then. But generally, people are accepting that that supermarkets do what they want in terms of pricing. We can't really control that. We sell it into at one price and they do the rest. So, and then sort of in the middle between all of that, you've got sort of mid counties co-ops and those guys. So again, that they will stock a bigger range. So, and then again, they're quite good at engaging with suppliers and having them in the shops and helping them with tastings and to help sell ship the product. Garden centers randomly are another good one, which is I've spent many a Sunday in the garden center with tasting tasting giving out tastings of beer. So
Oh,
it's again
nice.
wherever people gather on a Sunday, and so yeah, there's certainly opportunity out there.
No, absolutely. Mark, in terms of your side, being earlier in the journey, how has that process been for you in terms of we've spoken about your tap room, which I absolutely must visit. But how has that kind of decision making process been for you in terms of when to decide to go into shops or when to decide to go X, Y, and Z, and that kind of decision making earlier in the process?
Yeah, I guess it's something that in hindsight we didn't give enough when I say enough, we didn't give any thought into sales and marketing. We just wanted to make good beer and
Nice.
thought it would sell itself. And that's very much not the case. I'm sure Mark would tell you that the sales and marketing is not an easy world to be in, and it's probably my
No.
least favorite part of what I do. We've opted not to even consider, again, its scalability and size. For us, the big supermarkets is never going to be an option. The mid-sized ones, it's something we will consider. Our main shops at the minute are sort of small farm shops, local artisan night shops, things like that, which sort of support our brand a bit more and our size and what we're able to offer to them. I don't know how Mark does his job. I couldn't work in sales and marketing the whole time. I'm a brewer by heart and then a salesperson by second. It's a really tough market. It's a really tough market. I think there's 1,700 independent brewers thereabouts, breweries in the UK at the minute. I'm sure that the spirits are equally as competitive. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he's nodding his head. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a competitive market, and a difficult one. We'll just keep looking at local, which is what we are. So our local small shops is what we want to do. The bigger you go, the more like accreditations you need as well. It's not as simple as just saying, "Oh, we want to stock our product in a supermarket." You need the red tape gets longer and longer the bigger you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Andrew, coming across to you in terms of going on a because I know that you've gone for global awards. How do you go about it from a being attractive to a New Zealand, if we touch on one of your New Zealand awards market, to also being attractive to an Oxygen market? Is it the same, or what are those considerations?
It's broadly the same. It's the quality of the liquid. It's the quality of the product that you're putting in front of people. especially if you're a premium product asking for a premium price. So it's broadly the same. I think two things we're learning about exporting, because we now export to Europe and Japan, about to go into India. And as I said, we're exploring other markets such as Australia and New Zealand. I think a couple of things. Does your flavor profile meet the local taste? So that's really important. So, for example, we have quite an umami taste in our signature London Dry Gin, which is why Japan is really interested in it. But also make sure that your price point works in that country. We're having a lot of conversation with India at the moment because a lot of importers want to pitch us against, for example, Bombay Sapphire, which is the most popular English gin, British gin in India. But we don't try and compete with Bombay Sapphire in the UK. So why would we compete with Bombay Sapphire in India? And it's about not devaluing your brand by chasing the market. And there's a lot of, I think both marks have already touched on it. There's a lot of dynamics and a lot of complexities. If you sell low in one place, then all your other buyers want to buy it low as well. So you've got to maintain the value of your brand whilst also pitching into the right market for the taste of your product. That makes sense.
No, totally, totally. We are very much getting towards the final stint of the show, but there's two things I would love to cover with the three of you. So we're gonna have to be short, kind of short one-line answers, if that's okay. But what we'd love to do is leave our listeners with a top tip, and I would also love to give our listeners an insight into how can they get a hands on a bottle or a pint of your liquid. So, can we just go around the circle? And the two questions: what is your final top tip for our listeners, whether it be something fresh or something to underline in their notepads? And how can they get their hands on some of your lovely drinks? I'm going to start with you, Mark Graham.
So top tip, I would say keep drinking in whatever shape or form that takes, be that low, no, or beer, gin, spirits, and just enjoy the hospitality when you're out and about. It's just being about companionship, being together, and having those, enjoying those moments. In terms of getting our hands on that enabler, support your local pub. They're crying out for it, just if you just pop in for a pint. That's, I would say, yes, you can get beers in supermarkets online and all the rest of it, but the local pub, that's their livelihood, that's their their homes, a lot of them, and they just need your support. So that's, sorry, it's more than one line, but yeah, it's really important to us
Absolutely.
to people keep drinking and then go to the pub.
Perfect. No, couldn't agree more. Other Mark, what's your top tip and how can we get you beer?
My top tip is to try something different. So, and that might be that you always have Bombay Sapphire. Try a different one. Try a local one. Try something different. Same with a beer. If you always drink a certain type of beer, try a different one. If you're in a pub, the landlord or lady will always, you'll always be able to try a mouthful of it. You don't even have to have a pint of it, but just try something different would be my biggest one. So that's my tip for anything drinking. Where to go? I think sort of as Mark touched on the pub. For us, the tap room, come to our tap room. You can try anything, you can buy anything from there. Same with Skyway, you can go down Bicester Motion, or you can go down to the the lovely restaurant cafe and that at Norton. Go and support them at the front door.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Andrew.
I think my top tip echoes to a certain extent what's already been said. Human beings are social people. They need to meet. They need to meet up. They need to exchange ideas, and they need to exchange experiences. It doesn't matter where you do that, whether you do it in a pub, whether you do it in a church, whether you do it in a community group, whether you do it in the park. But just keep on meeting people. Don't meet them online through a phone or whatever. Meet human beings, and ideally in a pub or a bar. Where can you get Skywave? Well, from our website, skywavegin.com, or from our shop or bars at Bicester Motion, at the old RAF site at Bicester, and lots of other garden centres and outlets around the place, and indeed also at the Hook Norton Brewery shop. We all support each other in the industry across Oxfordshire, which is another good thing. So skywavegin.com or other outlets, including Bicester Motion.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And that is the end of the show. I'm so gutted we couldn't have gone for another hour, but because it would have been great to do so. But if you have just tuned in, we've been joined by Andrew Parsons of Skywave Gin, Mark Hayes-Kemp of Twisted Tree Brewery, and also Mark Graham. of Hook Mead. On a very different topic next week, we're going to be talking about the Westgate. And to do that, we're joined by Chris Jones of Wave Staffing, Aggie Weber of the Malmaison, and Zoe Scattergood of the Flight Club. So that will be an interesting insight. And just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. Do look out for the podcast version, which is released on the Monday morning, and is available via every podcast platform. And if you would prefer video to see my lovely guests, do have a look at the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.